Have you ever noticed how a day can feel decided before it even starts? Like you wake up and the world is already pulling on you. Notifications, unfinished conversations, yesterday's emotions, the silent pressure to be on, and somehow you're already behind, even though the day hasn't asked anything from you yet? I've been thinking about that a lot, because mornings are weird like that. They're small, almost invisible moments, but they set the tone for everything, and the Stoics understood this with a kind of brutal clarity. Your life isn't mainly shaped by the big dramatic choices, it's shaped by the first few minutes where you either take command of your mind or you hand it over. So in this episode, I want to give you 10 Stoic rules to discipline your mind every morning. Simple rules, but not easy, because simplicity is what exposes us. These aren't feel-good affirmations. They're mental commands. They're ways to build a mind that doesn't get dragged around by mood, by distraction, by other people's urgency. A mind that can stay steady even when life gets loud. And I'm going to keep it practical, because if it doesn't change what you do today, it's just philosophy for decoration. Before we go into it, here's the only thing I'll ask from you at the start. If this episode gives you even one rule you can actually use tomorrow morning, take a second to show some support by liking it and sharing it with someone who's been feeling scattered lately. Someone who keeps saying, "I need to get my life together," but doesn't know where to begin. Because mornings are where it begins, not with motivation, with direction. Now, let's start with something that sounds almost too obvious, but it's the foundation of everything. The first rule is that today is yours. Make it count. When you wake up, you're being handed a limited number of hours, and they're going to disappear whether you respect them or waste them. The Stoics would call this the discipline of attention, but in normal language, it's just ownership. Most people drift into the day like they're stepping onto a moving treadmill, and they spend the next 12 hours reacting. The Stoic wakes up and says, internally, with no drama, "Today is mine." Not in the sense that you control everything that happens, because you don't, but in the sense that you control what you do with what happens. You control what you bring. You control the standard you live by. You control whether you show up awake or half asleep inside your own life. And there's a quiet power in saying that before your phone says anything to you, before the news tells you what to fear, before anyone else's expectations show up in your head. Just one line. "Today is mine." And then you make it real with something small and immediate, because discipline isn't built by thoughts alone. Maybe it's as simple as sitting up, feet on the floor, and taking one slow breath before you reach for stimulation. Maybe it's drinking water before caffeine. Maybe it's making your bed as a signal to your brain that you're not negotiating with chaos today. It doesn't matter what the action is at first. What matters is the message. I lead. I don't drift. Here's a question that's worth asking yourself right now, because it cuts through the noise. When you wake up, who owns the first 10 minutes of your day? Your values or your impulses? If the answer is "my impulses," don't judge yourself. Just tell the truth. Stoicism starts with truth, and then make one change tomorrow that proves ownership is possible. If you usually check your phone in bed, then don't. Sit up first. If you usually scroll, then open a note instead and write one sentence. "The one thing I will not betray today is McRae." Keep it simple. Keep it honest. That's not inspiration. That's alignment. Because once you claim the morning, you're not just managing time. You're shaping identity. You're training yourself to be the kind of person who doesn't need perfect circumstances to act with strength. And that's the real reason the Stoics obsessed over the beginning of the day. Not because mornings are magical, but because the first choice is the clearest proof of who's in charge. And if you can win the first choice, the rest of the day stops feeling like an ambush and starts feeling like a path you're walking on purpose. 2. Your thoughts shape your day. It's almost unsettling how fast a day can get colored by a single thought that you didn't even choose. You wake up, your eyes aren't fully open yet, and the mind is already narrating, "This is going to be a long day," or "I'm behind," or "I don't feel like dealing with people," or "What's the point?" And what's dangerous is not the thought itself. Thoughts appear, like weather. The danger is that we mistake the thought for truth. We treat it like a command. We build the entire morning around it. And then we wonder why the day feels heavy. The Stoic move is simple, and it's so simple most people miss it. You catch the thought before it catches you. Not by fighting it, not by pretending it's not there, but by stepping back one inch and naming it. Marcus Aurelius wrote to himself about the power of perception, about how you can strip things of their drama by seeing them clearly. In normal language, it's this: I'm having the thought that, not this is reality. That tiny shift creates space. Space is where discipline lives. If you don't create space, your mind becomes a theater where every emotion writes the script. So in the morning, you practice a kind of mental gatekeeping. Not harsh, not obsessive, just clear. The thought comes in and you ask, "Is this useful? Is this true? Is this mine?" Sometimes the thought is true but not useful, like replaying a mistake. Sometimes it's useful but not urgent, like planning something for later. And sometimes it's not even yours, just borrowed anxiety from headlines, social media, other people's expectations. Stoicism is the art of deciding what gets to stay in your mind long enough to shape your mood. And here's where it becomes practical. Don't start your morning by consuming other people's minds. If the first thing you do is open your phone, you're basically inviting 1,000 strangers to throw their emotions into your head before you've chosen your own. Outrage, fear, comparison, urgency, it all gets poured into you, and then you call it my mood. The Stoic would say, protect the mind like you protect a home. You don't let anyone walk in and start moving furniture around. You meet them at the door. You decide what enters. So try this tomorrow. Before you check anything, take 60 seconds and run a thought audit. Ask yourself quietly, what thought is currently driving me? Not 5 thoughts, just the main one, the loudest one, the one that's shaping your posture, your breathing, your attitude. And then rewrite it into a Stoic lens, not a fake positive line, but a clean, strong one. If the thought is, I'm overwhelmed, the lens becomes, I only need to handle the next right thing. If it's, I'm behind, the lens becomes, I start where I am and move one step. If it's, I don't feel like it, the lens becomes, feelings can ride along, but they don't steer. That's discipline. It's not denying emotion. It's refusing to let emotion drive the car. There's a psychological reason this works too, and it's not mystical. The mind looks for evidence to confirm whatever story it's telling. If you start the day with, today will be stressful, your brain will scan for stress and ignore everything else. If you start with, I will move with calm precision, your brain starts scanning for opportunities to act that way. Same day, same world, different filter. And that filter is a choice you can train. Here's the question I want you to sit with. What is the default thought you wake up with most mornings, and who put it there? Was it built by years of repetition, by a job, by fear, by old pain, by a childhood pattern, by constant comparison? If you don't name it, it runs forever. If you name it, you can challenge it. And that's the Stoic promise. Freedom doesn't start when life gets easier. It starts when your mind stops believing every sentence it produces. So make this your daily rule. The day is won or lost in your mind before you even leave bed. Catch the thought. Choose the lens. Then prove it with one action that matches that lens. One small decisive move that says, I'm not just thinking differently, I'm living differently. And when you do that, mornings stop being a rush and start becoming a quiet act of leadership. 3. Leave yesterday behind. There's a particular kind of tired that doesn't come from work or lack of sleep. It comes from carrying time, from waking up today while still emotionally living in yesterday. A conversation you replay, a mistake you keep punishing yourself for, a moment you wish you handled differently. And what makes it so exhausting is that the past is the one place you can't do anything new, yet the mind keeps returning there as if repetition will somehow rewrite the ending. The Stoics had a wordless respect for this trap. They didn't tell you to forget the past in a naive way. They told you to stop renting your attention to what cannot be changed. Because there's a difference between reflection and rumination. Reflection is a tool. Rumination is a prison. Reflection asks, what can I learn? Rumination asks, why am I like this? Reflection turns pain into insight. Rumination turns pain into identity. And if you're not careful, you wake up and yesterday becomes the lens you look through today. So you react faster, you trust less, you feel heavier, and you call it realism. But it's not realism, it's residue. Stoicism offers a clean way out. Take the lesson, drop the weight. Seneca warned about suffering more in imagination than in reality, and the mind does something similar with the past, turning a moment into a loop, then calling that loop my life. But your life is not a loop. Your life is a sequence of choices, and today is the only place choices are alive. So, the morning is where you practice a kind of psychological hygiene. You don't drag yesterday's dirt across today's clean floor. And I want to make this concrete, because leave yesterday behind can sound like a slogan until you attach it to a real behavior. Here's a simple morning practice that actually works. Give yesterday a container, literally 2 minutes. Grab a notebook or a note on your phone and write 3 short lines, no essays. Line 1. What happened that I keep replaying? Line 2. What is the lesson? Line 3. What will I do differently today? Then stop. Close it. That's it. The point is not to become a philosopher at sunrise. The point is to convert the past into a decision so it stops demanding emotional rent. If the thing you're carrying is regret, the lesson might be an action. Apologize, clarify, correct, move forward. If it's disappointment, the lesson might be a boundary. Stop expecting a certain person to suddenly become safe. If it's a failure, the lesson might be a system. Don't rely on willpower. Change the environment. Whatever it is, the key is that the lesson must become a present tense behavior. Otherwise, you're just collecting insights like souvenirs while your life stays the same. And there's another angle here that's hard, but freeing. Sometimes we cling to yesterday because it gives us an excuse to avoid today. If I'm stuck in regret, I don't have to take a risk. If I'm stuck in anger, I don't have to be vulnerable. If I'm stuck in sadness, I don't have to rebuild. The past can become a hiding place that feels familiar. So ask yourself this, honestly. Is yesterday teaching you, or is it protecting you from action? That question can sting, but it's the kind of sting that wakes you up. One of the most stoic things you can do in the morning is to remember the only time you truly own is the next hour, not the next year, not the next version of you, the next hour. which means the discipline is small. You don't need to solve your whole life today. You need to show up unburdened enough to do one meaningful thing. Send the message, do the workout, open the document, make the hard decision you've been delaying, not because it fixes the past, but because it proves you're not chained to it. And if you're listening and this is landing, if you've felt that heaviness of carrying yesterday into today, go ahead and hit like, because it helps this reach people who need it, and leave a comment with one word. Reset. Not for me. For you. As a quiet agreement with yourself that today deserves a mind that's not already exhausted. So, tomorrow morning, when yesterday tries to climb back into your head, don't argue with it. Don't wrestle it. Just convert it. Lesson, action, release. And then step into the day like you're not doomed to repeat anything. Because you're not. You're allowed to learn without dragging the chain. 4. Control your mind first. Most people don't start their day. Their day starts them. A screen lights up, a message arrives, a headline creates urgency. Someone else's mood leaks into your morning, and before you even realize it, your mind is no longer yours. It's reacting, it's scanning, it's bracing, and that's not because you're weak. It's because the world is designed to hijack attention. The Stoics didn't have smartphones, but they understood something timeless. If you don't choose where your mind goes, it will be taken there. So this rule is about taking the reins before the noise touches you. Not because you want to live in a bubble, but because you want to meet reality as a centered person instead of a scattered one. Epictetus built his entire philosophy on one sharp distinction: what's up to you and what isn't. And mornings are the perfect place to practice that distinction, because mornings are when the outside world tries to hand you a list of things to worry about. Your job is to decide what deserves your energy and what gets dismissed. Here's a simple way to do it without making it complicated. Begin with a mental gate. Before messages, before news, before anyone else's needs, you ask yourself one question. What is the one thing I can control right now? Not in theory, right now. The answer is always something internal: your breath, your posture, your next choice, your willingness to be honest, your focus for the next 10 minutes. When you start there, you're not pretending you control the world. You're remembering you control your response to the world. Then comes the practical discipline. You don't let other people's urgency decide your priority. That's one of the biggest forms of modern slavery, living inside other people's timelines. You wake up, you check messages, and suddenly your morning belongs to whoever typed first. The Stoic flips that. You choose one priority before you consume input, something small but meaningful that signals leadership. Maybe it's 10 minutes of planning. Maybe it's a short walk. Maybe it's opening the hardest task first and touching it for 5 minutes. The goal isn't perfection. The goal is to make your mind taste control early so it remembers the flavor. A lot of the mind's chaos comes from untrained openness. Everything gets equal access. Every thought gets a microphone. Every notification gets treated like a fire alarm. So the Stoic practice is selective attention. And you can build it with a very concrete habit, a dismissal phrase. One line you repeat whenever the mind throws bait at you. Something like, not now, or that can wait, or I'll handle what's mine. The phrase matters less than the muscle it builds, the ability to say no internally, not just externally. And notice how different that feels from suppression. Suppression is fear. Dismissal is command. You're not pretending the thought isn't there. You're refusing to grant it authority. That's what discipline looks like in real life. It's not heroic. It's quiet. It's choosing again and again to put the mind back where you want it. There's also a deeper reason this rule changes everything. Your mind becomes what it repeatedly attends to. If you start your mornings with conflict, you become sharper, but also more reactive. If you start with comparison, you become ambitious, but also restless. If you start with gratitude, you become calmer, but also more patient. Attention is training, and training creates personality. So when you control your mind first, you're not just managing a morning, you're shaping the kind of person you're becoming. Here's a question that can reveal a lot. What usually hijacks you first? Other people's needs, your own anxiety, or the need to be entertained? Whatever the answer is, that's your training ground. That's where you practice control, not by fighting harder, but by designing a better first move. If entertainment hijacks you, keep the phone out of reach for the first 15 minutes. If anxiety hijacks you, write down the top worry and the one action you can take today. Then let the rest sit. If other people hijack you, decide one non-negotiable priority before you respond to anyone. Make it simple for tomorrow. Before you touch your phone, touch your mind. Take 1 minute. Ask, what's mine to control? Choose your priority. Dismiss what isn't yours. And then move. Because the moment you train yourself to lead your attention, you stop being a person who survives the day, and you become a person who directs it. 5. Start strong. Finish stronger. There's a mistake a lot of disciplined people make, and it's subtle. They win the morning, they feel proud, they build momentum, and then they slowly let the day leak. A few small compromises, a few just this once moments, a little mental bargaining, and by the evening, the day that started with clarity ends with drift. The Stoics would say that's because discipline isn't a mood you catch in the morning, it's a standard you protect all day. Starting strong is important, but finishing stronger is what turns discipline into identity. Think about it. The beginning of the day is easy to romanticize. Fresh energy, clean intentions, the illusion of infinite time. But the end of the day is where truth shows up. Because by then, you've been tested by people, by friction, by disappointment, by distraction, by your own impulses. Finishing strong means you don't let fatigue become an excuse to betray the version of yourself you respected at sunrise. It means you keep your word to yourself when nobody is clapping. The Stoics had this concept of living in accordance with virtue, which sounds abstract until you translate it into daily life. Do what you said you'd do, even when the emotional weather changes. Not because you're trying to be rigid, but because you're trying to be free. Because the person who can't finish what they start is always dependent on motivation, and motivation is the least reliable resource you have. So here's the rule in a practical way. Your morning creates momentum for the whole day, which means you choose one meaningful thing to do early, before the world takes your attention, and you decide ahead of time what finish looks like. Not perfection. Finish. A clear end point. If your goal is work, finish might mean completing the hardest block before noon and closing the day with a short review. If your goal is health, finish might mean training in the morning and ending the day without junk scrolling that wrecks sleep. If your goal is character, finish might mean not speaking in anger even when you're provoked, and ending the day with a clean conscience. Because this is what most people miss. You don't rise or fall from one giant decision. You rise or fall from the small decisions you make when the day is halfway done and you start getting tired. That's when the mind whispers, "You already did enough." And sometimes that's true. But most of the time, it's the old you looking for a back door. A stoic approach to this is to pre-commit in the morning to one non-negotiable, not 10 things. One, the one action that if you do it, you can respect yourself at night, and then you build the day around protecting that commitment. For example, you tell yourself, no matter what happens, I will do 20 minutes of focused work on my most important project. Or, no matter what happens, I will not numb myself with junk at night. Or, no matter what happens, I will have one difficult conversation I've been avoiding. One non-negotiable becomes the spine of the day. Here's the daily technique that makes this real. A morning anchor and an evening seal. The morning anchor is the first serious action you take, something that signals to your brain, we are not playing today. The evening seal is a short ritual that closes the loop, something that tells your mind, we finished. It can be as simple as writing two sentences before bed. What did I do right today? And what do I correct tomorrow? That's not journaling for aesthetics. That's training. It's how you build continuity across days. And I want to say something honest here, because people don't talk about it enough. Finishing stronger doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it feels boring. Sometimes it feels lonely. Sometimes it feels like you're saying no to the easy comfort everyone else is saying yes to. But that's exactly why it works. It's proof you're not owned by the path of least resistance. So ask yourself this. What do you usually do at the end of the day that quietly cancels the discipline you built in the morning? Is it late-night scrolling? Is it snacking out of stress? Is it avoiding the one task you said mattered? Is it letting frustration turn into a fight? Whatever it is, that's the leak. And a disciplined mind doesn't need to plug every leak at once. It plugs one and then another, and slowly the whole system becomes stable. If this point is hitting you, if you know you've had days that started strong but ended in compromise, hit like so this reaches the people who need it, and leave a comment with one word. Finish. Again, not for me, for you. As a reminder that discipline isn't about intensity, it's about follow-through. Tomorrow morning, choose one non-negotiable and decide what finish looks like before the day begins. Then, protect it. Because when you start strong, you build momentum. But when you finish stronger, you build trust with yourself. And that kind of trust is one of the rarest forms of freedom. 6. Act now. Don't wait. Procrastination rarely shows up as laziness. It shows up as a story, a very reasonable sounding story. I'll do it when I feel ready. I'll start after I clear a few things. I just need the right mood. And the mind loves these stories, because they let you keep the comfort of intention without paying the cost of action. The Stoics would look at that and say something almost cold, but true. Time doesn't negotiate. Life keeps moving whether you move or not. So, if you wait for the perfect inner climate, you end up living inside delay. This rule is about immediacy, not rushing, not panic, but clean movement. The kind of movement that breaks the spell, because the hardest part of most things is not the work. It's the beginning. It's the first 30 seconds where the mind argues, where it builds drama, where it inflates the task into something emotional. Stoicism cuts through that with a simple principle. You don't need to feel like it to do it. You need to do it to feel like it. Think about how often you've thought about doing something, fixing your sleep, starting the gym, applying for a job, having a difficult conversation, and weeks pass, and nothing changes, and you start to think you lack discipline. But what you actually lacked was a trigger, a first move, a system that makes action the default, the Stoics trained themselves to treat action as the antidote to mental noise. Not because action solves everything, but because action creates clarity. When you move, reality responds. When you wait, anxiety fills the vacuum. So here's what act now looks like in a morning routine. The moment you identify the one important thing you don't want to do, you take a tiny step toward it immediately, before the mind can build a courtroom. Not the whole thing, just the first step that proves motion. If it's writing, you open the document and type one sentence. If it's a workout, you put on the shoes. If it's a conversation, you draft the first line of the message. If it's a project you've been avoiding, you set a timer for 5 minutes and touch it. The size of the step is less important than the speed. Speed beats rumination. There's a reason this works that feels almost unfair. The brain updates its beliefs based on what you do, not what you promise. When you act, even in a small way, you're teaching your nervous system, "We are the kind of person who moves." And once that identity begins to form, the resistance doesn't disappear, but it loses authority. It becomes background noise instead of a steering wheel. And this connects directly to Stoicism's most practical idea. Focus on what is in your control. You can't control the outcome. You can't control how others respond. You can't control whether today feels smooth, but you can control a single action taken right now. That's why later is such a trap. It pushes control into a fantasy future where you'll be a different person. Stoicism says, don't outsource your life to a future version of you. Use the version you have today. Here's a question worth asking, because it exposes the real reason we delay. What are you afraid will happen if you start? Maybe you're afraid you'll fail. Maybe you're afraid you'll succeed and have to change your life. Maybe you're afraid you'll discover it's harder than you imagined. Whatever the fear is, acting now doesn't eliminate it. It shrinks it to its real size. Fear grows in the dark. Action turns the light on. So make the rule simple for tomorrow morning. When you notice yourself saying later, translate it into now, but smaller. Not now, perfectly. Not now for 2 hours. Just now, but smaller. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. And once you start, you'll feel something shift. Not because the task becomes easy, but because you stop being at war with your own intention. If then, the Stoic way, if you catch yourself delaying the one thing that matters, then you do the first physical step within 10 seconds. Stand up, open the file, put on the shoes, write the first line. That's how you train immediacy like a muscle. Because the mind that wins in life isn't the mind that thinks the best thoughts. It's the mind that can convert thought into motion without negotiation. And when you practice that every morning, you don't just become productive, you become trustworthy to yourself. 7. Focus gives you energy. A lot of people wake up and think the problem is that they don't have energy. They tell themselves, "I'll focus when I feel energized," as if focus is something you buy with motivation. But the truth is almost the opposite. You focus to create energy. Because what drains you isn't work. What drains you is fragmentation. It's having your attention split into 10 open tabs. Your phone, your worries, your plans, other people's expectations, random information you didn't ask for. So even when you're resting, you're still mentally scattered. That kind of scattered mind feels tired even on an easy day. The Stoics understood attention as a kind of inner currency. Spend it wisely, and you feel strong. Spend it everywhere, and you feel poor. When Epictetus talked about keeping your ruling faculty, your inner command center, aligned, he wasn't describing some mystical state. He was describing what it feels like to live without being constantly pulled. A disciplined mind is not a mind that never gets distracted. It's a mind that returns, again and again, calmly, without drama. So here's the rule. One thing, fully present, no divided mind. And I know how hard that sounds in the modern world, because we're surrounded by systems designed to keep us half here. We check something quickly, we switch tasks for a second. We tell ourselves we're multitasking, and by noon, we feel like we've been chased, even if we didn't do anything deeply meaningful. Focus is not just a productivity tool, it's a mental shelter. And the morning is the best time to practice it, because your brain is still impressionable. You're setting a tone. So instead of starting the day with noise, you start the day with a single target. One clear object of attention. It could be a task, a routine, a principle, even a mood you choose to cultivate. And then you protect that target for a short window, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20, where you don't allow your mind to be split. Not because you're trying to be perfect, but because you're training the muscle that will save you later when life gets chaotic. Here's a practical way to make this real tomorrow. Create a focus pocket first thing in the morning. A small block of time where you do one meaningful thing with full attention. No background scrolling, no jumping between apps, no checking messages, just in case. If it's work, you do the hardest piece first, even if it's just outlining or setting up. If it's health, you do your movement with full presence, feeling the breath, the muscles, the rhythm. If it's mental clarity, you sit and breathe and watch your thoughts without feeding them, the way the Stoics practiced observing impressions without obeying them. Whatever it is, the goal is singularity. And something interesting happens when you do this. The mind starts to feel cleaner. You get a kind of quiet energy that isn't hype. It's the energy of coherence. It's what you feel when your inner world isn't arguing with itself. Because every time you jump around, you generate friction. But when you commit to one thing, you reduce friction, and that reduction feels like strength. So ask yourself this question, because it will show you exactly where your energy leaks. What is your attention divided between right now? Even as you listen to this, is part of you somewhere else, thinking about later, worrying about a message, replaying something from yesterday, craving some distraction? That's not a moral failure. That's just a habit. And habits can be retrained. The Stoic approach is not to hate distraction. It's to practice return. When you notice your mind wander, you bring it back like you're guiding a friend. Not with anger, not with shame, but with quiet authority. Come back, and you do it again. That's the workout. That's the discipline. Not the absence of distraction, but the speed of recovery. Here's an if, then you can use immediately. If you feel low energy in the morning, then don't chase stimulation. Choose one task and do 5 minutes of pure focus. Often, that 5 minutes will produce more real energy than 30 minutes of scrolling, because scrolling gives you input without progress, and the mind feels that as emptiness. If this point is landing, if you've been feeling drained, not because life is impossible, but because your attention is constantly split, hit like so this reaches the right people, and leave a comment with one word. Focus. A small reminder that energy isn't always something you find. Sometimes it's something you generate by refusing to be divided. Because when you train focus, you're not just improving productivity, you're reclaiming your mind. And the moment your mind becomes one, your life starts to feel like it belongs to you again. 8. Small wins grow big. There's a temptation we all have, especially in the morning, to think that change has to feel dramatic to be real. Like if we don't do something heroic, the day doesn't count. And that mindset quietly kills discipline because it makes you chase intensity instead of consistency. The Stoics didn't build strength by chasing drama. They built strength by training what they could repeat, daily, quietly, without needing applause. And that's why this rule matters. Greatness isn't built in one loud moment. It's built in the calm accumulation of small wins that stack and harden into identity. The mind learns through evidence, not through inspiration. Every time you do a small disciplined act, you're giving your brain a receipt that says, "This is who I am." And every time you break your word to yourself, you give it a different receipt. Over time, those receipts become a self-image. This is why tiny actions are not tiny. They are votes. They are identity training. The Stoics would call it character formation. But in normal language, it's this. You become what you repeatedly prove. And what's beautiful and a little humbling is that small wins don't require perfect circumstances. You can win small even on a bad day. You can win small even when you're tired. You can win small even when your life is chaotic. That's why they compound. They teach you that discipline is not a product of mood, it's a product of decision. So how do you make this practical in the morning? You choose one small win that is almost impossible to argue with. Something so simple the mind can't reasonably negotiate. 10 push-ups, 5 minutes of reading, 1 page of writing, 1 glass of water, 1 minute of breathing with full attention. The point is not the size. The point is the completion. Because completion builds trust, and trust is the engine of bigger discipline. Here's a simple example that most people underestimate: making your bed. It sounds silly until you understand the psychology of it. You wake up and you finish something. You create order. You send a signal that you're not starting the day in surrender. It's not about cleanliness. It's about momentum. And once momentum is real, you can attach larger actions to it. You can say, "Since I already won one small thing, I'll win the next." That's the compound effect in real life. One win makes the next win easier because it changes your internal posture. You stop asking, "Do I feel like being disciplined?" And you start asking, "What's the next win?" The question changes everything. It turns discipline from a personality trait into a process. The Stoics also understood the danger of self-contempt. If you set goals that are too big too fast, you create failure, and failure becomes a story, and the story becomes identity. But if you set wins that you can actually keep, you build a different story. "I do what I say," and once that story is real, you can expand it gradually, not by forcing, but by stacking. So here's a morning system you can use tomorrow. Pick a minimum win and a bonus win. The minimum win is what you do no matter what. The bonus win is what you do if the day has room. The minimum might be 5 minutes of focused work. The bonus might be 20. The minimum might be a short walk. The bonus might be a full workout. The minimum might be a simple breakfast. The bonus might be meal prep. This protects you from the all or nothing trap. Because the all or nothing mindset is just procrastination wearing a more ambitious outfit. And ask yourself this, because it's a truth that can reshape how you see your mornings. What is one small win you could do daily for the next 30 days that would make you quietly respect yourself again? Not a fantasy win, a real one. The kind you can do even when the day is messy. That win is your seed. If then, the Stoic way, if you feel overwhelmed by the big picture, then shrink the target until action becomes inevitable, then complete it and stop. Let completion be the victory. Let the brain register it, then move on. Because the real goal of small wins isn't the win itself. It's the person you become while collecting them. A month of small wins does something powerful. It teaches you that you are not stuck. You are not broken. You are simply untrained in one direction. And training works. So tomorrow morning, don't ask for a dramatic transformation. Ask for one honest win, then another, then another. And one day, you'll look back and realize the change didn't arrive as a lightning strike. It arrived as a quiet pattern you refused to abandon. 9. Discipline brings freedom. Most people hear the word discipline and feel a little resistance in their chest, like it's a cage being built around them. Less fun, less spontaneity, less comfort. And I get it, because a lot of discipline is taught in a harsh way, like self-control is punishment. But the Stoics had a different lens. Discipline isn't what limits you, it's what releases you. Because the real cage is not structure. The real cage is impulse. It's being pulled by whatever you crave in the moment, whatever you fear in the moment, whatever distracts you in the moment. That's not freedom. That's being owned. And the uncomfortable truth is this. If you can't say no to yourself, you can't say yes to your life. That's why the Stoics treated self-mastery as the foundation of peace. Not because they wanted to live like monks, but because they wanted to live by choice. When you have discipline, you don't need perfect motivation. You don't need the world to cooperate. You can act in alignment even when your emotions are messy. And that is freedom, being able to steer even when the internal weather is chaotic. So, let's make it real. Think about the moments you feel least free. It's usually not when you have too many rules. It's when you're stuck in a loop. You scroll longer than you want. You eat what you promised you wouldn't. You snap at someone and then regret it. You delay the thing that matters and then feel guilty. That pattern is a form of captivity. It's not dramatic, but it's heavy because it creates a quiet distrust between you and yourself. You start to think, I can't rely on me. And once you lose self-trust, you start searching for external control. Someone to push you, pressure you, rescue you. That's the opposite of freedom. Discipline is how you rebuild that trust. And the Stoic method is surprisingly gentle, but firm. You don't try to control everything. You control the lever points, the key moments where your day tends to fall apart. The morning, the transitions between tasks, the evening when you're tired. Those are the times when impulse takes over. So instead of fighting your whole personality, you train those moments like a craftsman trains a skill, small repetitions, daily, with attention. There's a line that floats around in Stoic thought, even if it's not always quoted word for word. The person who conquers themselves is stronger than the person who conquers a city. It sounds dramatic, but the meaning is practical. It means the hardest enemy isn't the world. It's the untrained part of you that sells tomorrow for comfort today. When you become disciplined, you stop paying that price. Here's what that looks like in the morning, specifically. You choose one constraint that creates freedom later. A constraint is not a punishment. It's a boundary that protects your future self. For example, you decide no phone for the first 30 minutes. That one rule creates freedom. Freedom from comparison. Freedom from hijacked attention. Freedom from reactive mood. Or you decide, I will do the hardest task for 10 minutes before anything else. That creates freedom. Freedom from the anxiety of avoidance. Freedom from the weight of unfinished business. Or you decide, I will eat a clean breakfast. That creates freedom. Freedom from energy crashes. Freedom from cravings controlling the afternoon. Notice what's happening. Discipline isn't shrinking your life. It's expanding your options by reducing the chaos. And the biggest freedom discipline gives you is emotional freedom. Because once you practice doing the right thing, even when you don't feel like it, you stop being afraid of your own moods. You stop treating sadness, boredom, stress, or irritation like emergencies that must be soothed immediately. You learn you can carry discomfort without obeying it. And that is a superpower in a world that sells comfort like oxygen. So ask yourself this, honestly, where are you least free right now? What impulse runs you? What habit steals hours? What emotional reaction keeps repeating? Don't answer with shame. Answer with clarity, because clarity is where freedom begins. Then choose one disciplined rule to weaken that chain, one small daily constraint that buys you peace. If then, the Stoic way. If you feel the pull of impulse in the morning, scrolling, avoiding, indulging, then you pause for 10 seconds and do one disciplined action first. 1. Drink water. Sit up and breathe. Write the first line. Put your shoes on. That first disciplined act is like a flag planted in the day. I lead. If this is resonating, if you're realizing that what you call lack of motivation is often just a lack of self-governance, hit like so. This reaches the people who need to hear it, and leave a comment with one word. Free. Not because you're already perfect, but because you're choosing the direction. Because discipline, done the Stoic way, isn't a cage. It's the key. It's the quiet daily decision to stop being controlled and start living by choice. 10. You decide your day. There's a strange comfort in believing the day is already written. It excuses us. It lets us say, that's just how my mornings go, or that's just my mood, or people always get to me, as if we're passive characters in a script that someone else is directing. But the Stoic position is more demanding and more freeing. The day isn't a fixed story you're trapped inside. It's a blank page that will be filled by your responses, not by your plans, not by your fantasies, by your responses. Because the world will always throw variables at you. Delays, messages, problems, other people's emotions, a body that feels tired, a mind that feels noisy. That part is not optional. What is optional, what is yours, is the stance you take, the angle you meet the day from. And that's why this final rule matters. You decide your day, not by controlling events, but by choosing your direction in the face of events. Marcus Aurelius wrote to himself like a man trying to stay awake inside his own life. He kept reminding himself that the mind has the power to turn obstacles into material, not through magical thinking, but through interpretation and action. And you can practice that immediately in the morning with one simple question that changes everything. What kind of person am I going to be today? Not, what am I going to accomplish? Not, how will people treat me? But, who am I going to be while it unfolds? Calm, precise, patient, honest, courageous. That choice becomes a compass. When the day gets messy, you return to the compass. And this is where discipline becomes more than productivity. It becomes character. Because you can have a productive day and still feel empty if you spent it reactive, resentful, scattered, or seeking validation. Stoicism is not just about getting things done. It's about living with inner alignment, so that even when life is hard, you're not ashamed of how you move through it. So here's a practical way to lock in this rule tomorrow morning. Choose a daily sentence. One line that defines your direction. Keep it short enough to remember without effort. Something like, today I move with calm precision. Or, today I do the hard thing early. Or, today I don't leak my energy into drama. Or, today I respond, I don't react. This isn't a motivational quote. It's a command to your attention. It's how you keep the day from being stolen by randomness. Then you pair that sentence with one visible action, because the mind respects proof. If your sentence is, "Today I respond, I don't react," then your action might be a rule like, before replying to any message that triggers you, you pause and breathe once. If your sentence is, "Today I do the hard thing early," then your action is opening that task within the first hour. If your sentence is, "Today I don't leak energy into drama," then your action is refusing to gossip or argue online. One sentence, one proof. That's how you decide the day. And notice the deeper shift here. You stop outsourcing your mood to circumstances. Most people decide their day based on what happens to them. The disciplined person decides their day based on what they stand for. That doesn't mean you never feel stress or anger or sadness. It means those emotions don't get to write the plan. They're allowed in the room, but they're not allowed at the wheel. So let me ask you a question that's worth pausing on, because it's the simplest test of sovereignty. When something goes wrong today, because something will, what will you do first? Will you blame? Will you scroll? Will you complain? Will you shut down? Or will you return to your sentence and take one clean step forward? That's the moment the day gets decided, not at sunrise, in the first disruption. If then, the stoic way. If the day tries to hijack you with urgency or emotion, then you return to your daily sentence and take one action that matches it, immediately. That's how you keep the day from pulling you into old patterns. That's how you write a new page in real time. And if this episode gave you something you can actually apply tomorrow morning, hit like so it reaches more people who are trying to rebuild discipline without burning out. And leave a comment with one word: decide. A small reminder that no matter what the world brings, you still own your response. Because the day isn't written, you are. And every morning you wake up, you're not just waking up to another set of hours, you're waking up to another chance to live on purpose. If you listen to all 10 of these rules together, what you start to hear is one simple message hiding underneath the philosophy. Your morning is where you either reclaim yourself or you hand yourself away. Not once, not dramatically, but in small decisions that feel harmless in the moment. The moment you reach for the phone before you reach for your mind. The moment you let one anxious thought become the narrator of the day. The moment yesterday's emotion walks into today like it owns the place. The moment you delay the hard thing and call it later. None of these moments look like a crisis, but stacked together, they create a life that feels reactive, rushed, and quietly out of your control. And what I love about the Stoic approach is that it doesn't ask you to become a different person overnight. It asks you to become a more deliberate person today, just today. It asks you to take ownership of your hours, to guard your attention, to clean your mind of yesterday's residue, to choose focus over fragmentation, to stack small wins until they become a stable identity, to treat discipline as freedom instead of punishment, and to decide your direction before the world decides it for you. That's not self-help. That's self-governance. So here's the real question to carry with you after this episode, because it's the one that separates listeners from doers. Which one rule are you going to practice tomorrow morning, even if you don't feel like it? Not 10 rules. 1. The one that would make you respect yourself by lunch and make it so small you can't rationalize your way out of it. One sentence that sets your direction. One focus pocket, one minimum win, one moment of pause before you react. One first step taken within 10 seconds. Let that be your proof. And then, at night, don't judge the day like a critic. Review it like a craftsman. What did you do that strengthened your mind? What did you do that weakened it? And what's the one adjustment you'll make tomorrow? That's Stoicism in real life. Calm, honest, and steady. If this episode helped you, show support by liking it and sharing it with someone who keeps waking up tired of their own patterns. And I'd love to hear from you too. Comment one word. Morning. Not as a slogan, but as a commitment to rebuild your life where it's most possible to rebuild it. Because the world will keep being loud. That part is guaranteed. The question is whether you'll meet it with a scattered mind or with a disciplined one that belongs to you.